Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Currently with Kira Tor, where I share my latest style obsessions, all of which you can access through my shopping community, Kira Tor. My spring curation is here and I'm so excited. Throughout the season, I'm going to be telling you more about everything inside of it, item by item. This week, we're focusing on the Hue & Grace Restoring Face Serum. A few years back, we included the brand's Night Serum, and I've been such a major fan ever since. This daytime formula will brighten and smooth your skin with antioxidant-rich oils that fight both free radicals and hormone disruptors. Alone, the serum retails at $95, but you can get this entire five-product curation for just $100 when you start your membership with my code ZOE25. 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 These boxes are in limited supply, so head to curator.com, that's curator.com, to claim this offer right now. Hi, everyone. I'm Rachel Zoe, and you're listening to Climbing in Heels. The show is all about celebrating extraordinary superwomen who will be sharing their incredible journeys to the top, all while staying glamorous. Today with me, we have one of Hollywood's most beloved estheticians and skincare experts, Shani Darden. She's literally responsible for some of the most beautiful faces in the business and in the world, including Jessica Alba, who actually helped really mentor and push her into her career, Rosie Huntington-Whiteley, and Kelly Rowland, just to name a few. And I can tell you firsthand, they have magnificent skin. On this episode, Shani is sharing all about her very unique journey to building a skincare empire and her background as a model and music video dancer. Her hustle is truly something to be admired. I feel like I get Shani so well because we're both introverts that you don't really think are introverts. We get mistaken for being maybe aloof or a little bitchy or shy sometimes. But I think it's just sometimes not having the confidence in yourself that other people have in you. So I really, really love Shani and I really admire her work and her hustle. I'm so happy that you're here. I'm so happy we're doing this.
I'm so excited.
I started doing Climbing in Heels because I have the most incredible women in my life, like you and all of our friends. And all of these amazing women that do such incredible things. And, you know, the thing I get asked the most in my life is sort of like, how did you get there? How did you go from being a stylist to a brand to a this and my mom? And and ultimately, like, I don't want to talk about myself. And so what I realize is, like, with all of these women that I know and some that I don't know, some I've known my whole life, some for not that long, but everyone has a different story and like a really fascinating story. And everyone's stories are so different.
Yeah.
And so I think that the purpose for me is to really share the stories of women and how they got to be at the top of their fields and their games and the sort of very twisted ways in which they get there.
Yep.
And I think it really helps to motivate other people of any age, right?
Yeah.
To just do what you love and try and get where you want to be, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we met a long time ago, probably 10 years ago, maybe more.
Yeah. A very long time ago. I think the first time I actually met you is at like a birthday or something of Jessica's.
I wasn't sure if it was Jessica's or at Jenny Kane's house once. Is that possible?
No, it was Jessica's. I remember.
It's weird.
It was one of, it was like the first, I had just met her.
Right.
And so I met you there and it was at her old house.
Got it. Okay. Because I assumed we met through Jess, but I feel like there were so many different iterations and places and parties and things. But I just remember thinking like, who is this woman? Because, well, because you have this very like strong presence, right? Because you're very beautiful, you're tall, you're this or that. And it's like immediately you're like, who is she? Because I haven't met her before.
I like that.
But you have a very strong presence, but then you come off, I think, shy at first, right? Like
or bitchy, but it's usually just that I'm such an introvert.
Yes.
But I have that for sure.
Right. So I think I just was, but listen, Jess can be like that too, right? Yeah. Like you can be a little scared, a little like,
yeah.
And for me, I'm very like, right? Like I'm very like,
yeah.
I don't want to say bubbly, but I guess I'm a little like, and when people are either shy or like intimidating or whatever, I just work harder.
Right.
To try and like, you know, engage. But I think with you, it was sort of like I was a little afraid at first because I was like, she hates me. She doesn't want to talk to me. And then I was like, wait, she's so light and she's actually so friendly and sweet. And then all of a sudden, what to me felt like overnight, because I do remember when I first met you that like whoever we're with, I mean, Jessica was definitely one of them. And then there was a few other girls that were like, oh, have you had one of Shawnee's facials? And I was like, wait, what? I'm sorry, what? And I was just kind of learning. And I think then what felt like overnight to me, which obviously was probably not overnight to you, that all of a sudden it was like all I was hearing about was you and your treatments and you can't get in and you have to. And she's opening a salon and oh, my God, her magic. Oh, my God. If you go to her house, like it's transformative. Her, you know, so I feel like, but what I do want to talk about and what I think the most important thing to talk about is like, where did it start and where is it from? Because I think what's so interesting about you is it wasn't like, oh, I was playing in makeup and skincare my whole life and wanted to get into beauty. Like, that's not your path. So I think what's so fascinating about you is sort of where you came from, what you went to, and then where you are now. So like, who, like, first of all, you grew up in New York?
I grew up in upstate New York. I was born in Manhattan, and then I moved. And when my parents got a divorce, I moved to Plattsburgh, New York, which is like an hour away from Montreal, Canada. It's like in the middle of nowhere. So
it's like barely New York.
Exactly. It's probably 8 hours away driving to the city.
Wow.
So a small, small town. Like, small. Like,
okay.
It was not fun at all. But that's where I grew up.
That's so funny because I would never in a million years say you're like a small town girl. Like
I was not supposed to be there. So when I had the chance to leave, I was out. Like I didn't turn back. It was definitely not where I was supposed to be.
And you grew up with a single mom.
I did. But my mom married pretty quickly after to my stepfather, who is still they're still together.
And
they've been
you're
together
very close.
Yeah. He's 95.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
So
I
grew up with him, and then I have a stepbrother and two stepsisters, older because he's
okay.
So,
and then, so you grew up there, and then what happened? Like, when did you get out? When was the great escape?
So I started modeling when I was younger, and I would model in Montreal, Canada.
Okay.
And a scout found me and said, come to LA. You're going to be so huge. You're going to be this huge model. Come. And I literally feel like within a couple of months, I just left. I moved here and quickly realized that I was never going to be a model. And I got put in all these music videos. I always booked music videos. I didn't know how to dance. I was always wearing like some like corset rolling around on the ground. And it was a whole thing.
What year was this around? Like give or take?
Oh God, I don't know. I'm 48. I was probably like 20.
So early 2000s.
Yeah.
Because that's when I was styling music videos, which is why this is all very familiar to me.
Right.
Okay.
So I just knew like it was not for me. Like I had no idea how I got into it or anything. So after that, I was like, I'm not doing this.
After you were like the girl in the video thinking you might become a supermodel because people told you you would.
Yes.
You were like, okay, now I'm like music video girl in Next to Nothing. And this is not for me. Okay.
100%. So then I don't know really what I did right after it. I think I took a minute and then I don't know. I was always obsessed with skincare. I think originally I started working as a receptionist at different spas.
Okay.
Because I knew that then I could get in as an esthetician, or that was my thought.
You could learn. You could learn it. Sure.
So I bounced around and I ended up going to school to be an esthetician while I was a receptionist at one of the, a really big spa at the time.
Which one?
Kanara Spa.
Oh, yeah. I loved Kanara. Yeah.
Yes. The so best. That's, I worked there thinking the owner was going to give me a job after I got out of school. And then I got out of school and she said, no, you're not ready yet. So then I went to a dermatologist. I worked there for years and years. And then I just started working at every spa that I could. I worked at the Sofitel. I worked for a plastic surgeon. And so I just kept bouncing around to places.
And you were single at this time, or were you?
I was single when I was, after I got my license. I think that's when I met my husband.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what
I just want to point out, like, the hustle. Like, oh, I want to point that out because I think it's so important, because I think, you know, again, I think the real premise of Climbing in Heels is that, like, it's like everybody knows you now, who you are,
right?
How, you know, you're here, you're the best, like, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, guess what, everybody?
Oh, no, it was a huge struggle. I worked 7 days a week, Monday through Sunday, working at different places. Because
never being, said no.
Right. The thing is, too, people don't realize, like, being an esthetician, it's not like you're going to be rich being an, you know what I mean? It's not easy. So,
and as much as you work is as much as you make.
So I had to work at all those places just to make any money because I didn't have any clients.
Sure.
So it was really a struggle then. And then shortly after I had my daughter, my first child, Phoenix.
Yeah.
And then still struggling and still working at all the places. And I just kept going, I guess.
Because you are rather, like, you know, I know you won't believe this when I say this, and I've said it to you before. I think I said it at your dinner, but I am an introvert. So I do understand what you mean, but I am, in my career, I'm an extrovert. So I think I am can be very insular and a little bit, like, you know, so I do relate to it. I do. And I think something I want to talk about is sort of like, so as you're hustling and doing this climb and you're on, you know, your second career. And I think it's sort of like, were you scared? Were there these moments where you were like, am I ever going to become like, am I ever going to, is this going to be like real for me? Like, am I ever going to stop having to run from salon to salon and, like, you know?
Oh yeah, definitely. I definitely was scared. And if I didn't have the support of my husband, I can't even imagine that I would have gone on. Because, like, how am I going to pay for anything?
Sure. Yeah.
And I don't, you know, it's hard. My mind, I never, like, think of the future in that way. So I didn't really know what was going to happen. Like, I didn't have the plan. Just like when I came out with my product line, I never had a plan that I was going to put out a product line.
Yep.
Even now, people are like, well, how many SKUs do you want to have? I'm like, I don't know. I have no, it just happens. It happened for me. So, but definitely very stressful. Like, I hadn't have had my husband, I wouldn't have been able to continue on building my fence.
Financially and emotionally.
Yeah. And we both weren't making a lot of money then either. So it was just a struggle. So definitely.
It is. And I think that's like a thing that, you know, it's funny because people have asked me, you know, throughout my career, sort of like, how did you, you never came up for air. You got sick. Like, what happened? And like, da-da-da. And what I always say, I give Roger so much credit because what I was doing was so insane, so mentally draining, so physically draining. It's almost like I had nothing left.
Yeah.
And I don't know at times if he wasn't with me just as that, like, support, as that, like, chair to come home to, you know, I don't know that I would have made it, honestly. Yeah. And, and I think that's undervalued. And I think because we're in such a female, you know, place, you know, where we are, we're just so pro-female. I also happen to be pro-male. And I think it's because I come from a family of great males and I married one. So, and I'm raising two now. So, so I have so much male around me, which is really funny. But I think it would be interesting to learn I think, what was that moment? And by the way, like you, one of the biggest pieces of advice I always give is don't look for your next thing. Keep doing, stay focused on what you're doing, because it'll all happen organically at the right time. And I think when you go, I'm doing this in 2010, I'm doing this in 2000. If I don't do this by 2014, then I failed.
It will
never. You can't overplan. Yeah. You can't architect your path that way, in my opinion. I think it's timing.
I think I used to hear this all the time, that I don't know if my mom would tell me, but like when you're doing what you're supposed to do, it works.
Correct.
And I knew that it was the first time that I knew that when I became an esthetician. I knew like this is just what I was supposed to do. And once you get there, it just all kind of flows. I will say that sucks to hear when you're not in the place. You know what I mean? When you're giving someone that advice, because you're like, what does that even mean? What does that mean? You know what I mean?
Yes. But I think it's important to younger people right now, or even not younger people that are just like, I'm scared to change my career. It's sort of like, it is true though. Like, and I always say, like, if you find your passion, figure out how to make a career out of that, because it won't feel like work, right?
Exactly.
And the success will come because you'll want to do it because you love it. I personally cannot imagine waking up every single day to do something I hated.
Yes.
I'd fail.
Yeah. Same. But I think that that's what I did for my whole life until I became an esthetician. It's just like, it's completely natural to me. So
I have a question for you then. At what moment, and you're probably going to say, well, I don't think I am, but like, at what moment did you say, okay, I'm actually like good at this. Like, I'm actually, and I know this because everybody's telling me, or like all of a sudden, because I'm telling you, for me, you know, I had lived here, I don't know, 10 years. And you knew a handful of estheticians, right? And then all of a sudden it was at Rosie's. Sorry, that's where it was.
I was going to say that after, because when you said
Jenny because Cain's, it was the house.
I was like, I've never been to Jenny Cain's, but that I have.
Correct.
That's the house.
Exactly right. That just clicked as I was talking to you. So, I mean, all of a sudden, all of these women in my life were like, because I just am not one that does enough self-care and I don't take care of my skin the way I should.
Right.
But everyone's like, you have to go to Shania. So, at what point did the magic start to get recognized and you were singled out by literally some of the biggest celebrities in the world, with notably the most beautiful skin in the world, who can go to anybody, use anybody, have every product at their disposal, and they're living and dying by your name, your spa, your product?
When I work, I went on my own.
And I know you're so uncomfortable with me saying that.
So the last place I worked was called the Body Well. It was like a medical center kind of place. Mm-hmm. When I was there, I got pregnant with Lennon, my second, and I was living in a rental house and I had a back office in it. Mm-hmm. And Jessica was like, nobody wants to go there, not because it was bad. Just set up your back office.
Sure.
And I was like, "What? Like, no one's going to want to come to my house." And she was like, set it up. I promise you. And that moment is when everything changed. At that moment, makeup artists, hairstylists, everyone just started sending me people. Wow. And I think the moment is that a lot of these people had acne and I was able to fix their skin. And that was... That's when it changed. That was my busiest time ever, was when I set up that office in the back. Like,
What was that? Like 2010, 2011, 12, something around that. I'm just getting like a timeline.
I'm so bad at a timeline. So,
How old's your youngest daughter?
Oh, there you go. There you go.
That's how I always remember time by my kids.
She's 10. She's 10. Okay.
So 10 years
ago. So I was there like, And so that's when it kind of went crazy. And I was always booked. And it was also really difficult because the back office didn't have a bathroom. So you had to come through my house. And I'm such like so anal and super clean. So like I'd have my kids hidden in my bedroom when I had people come through. It was like crazy.
Oh, my God.
But that's when I knew like, oh, my God, this really is something. And I also had like huge people come to my house.
Isn't that
like
funny?
You know what I mean? And they kept coming. And I think part of the reason why they kept coming is because, you know, there was no paparazzi. Like, it was like their place.
Sure.
And well, so
I want to talk about that, though, because that's the thing about skin. Skin is something like, yes, you can hide it. Like, yes, you can hide it with makeup, right? Yes. But ultimately, your skin on your face is the first thing people see when right. they say hello.
Yeah.
And I would say that male or female, everyone I know, it is the thing that from age, what, 12, 13, yeah. right? Yep. Because when you have pimples all over your face, yep. you look down at the ground, yep. you're constantly yep. covering. So it really impacts the way you present yourself yep. to the world every day, right?
100%.
And I would say that I think having worked with celebrities my entire career, I would say that the thing they are the most loyal about is to their makeup artists and their skin.
Yeah.
Their estheticians. Sure. Because, yeah. and I will say this, celebrities, just like models, supermodels even, are real people with real skin problems.
Yep. For sure.
And I think that that's a great point to what was really pivotal for you in your career because. I mean, if I have acne all over my face and you help me get rid of it, yeah. you are my soul sister. Like, you know what I mean? That's yeah, it. Like, yeah, I can't breathe sure. without you now.
For sure. Yeah. No, that was just all amazing having that happen. But that's definitely what changed everything for me. And then that's when I came out with my first product and it just sort of went from there.
We had one of your first products yes. in my curation. And yes. Curator and yes. oh my God, people were obsessed with it.
Yeah, that was my first baby.
Was resurfacing? Was it the yeah, resurfacing?
Retinol reform, yeah.
Retinol yep. reform. Yep. I knew it was yep. ours. Yep. I was like, resurface, reform. but I think, listen, I use so many of your products. Right now I have the eye cream on and serum.
Did you get something. The peel? Did you get the
yes.
peel?
Yes. You're going to love it on the peel. Weekend.
Okay.
That's
you're going to love
it. That's a weekend project.
You're going to love the peel. You're going to love it.
Oh, I was actually on the phone with someone while they were doing it. And they were saying, I'm just getting through the little tingly part because I know it's doing great things.
It's really good. I'm so proud of that product. I can't even tell you. I made that. I had wanted to make it for a while, but what pushed me to get it done was the pandemic because obviously I couldn't give facial. Right. And then everyone was asking me to make it. And I was also like making them kits to use at home.
To do they at could, home.
So I was like, I have to make this. So see, it took a while.
That's so interesting because, you know, Roger and I were saying that the pandemic forced entrepreneurs to get so creative outside yep. of what they were doing. But also if you weren't an entrepreneur, you like became one
yep.
because you were starting to figure out how you could still do your business yeah. and the new needs of the world and how yep. to like, how to sort of acclimate to that and change, you know, mix yeah. it up a little bit, yeah. scramble the egg as he likes to say. But I think for you, it's funny because part of me is sort of like, oh my God, why do you make your magic peel? You should only give that in your office so that people come. Well, but I think they still want it from you.
But here's the thing. It's not the same.
But
people
it's almost.
Think that, right, it is, but the strength that I use in the office,
of course.
Technically, I couldn't sell right. that.
Sure.
But yeah, it's as close as I could get it, for sure. Yeah. But it's a good one. I'm very proud. When I was making it, a lot of people on my team were like, oh, this isn't going to be like your biggest SKU. And I was like, yes, it is. Like people are going to die. It's so easy. Two steps. Like I can
And it
do
even
that.
Has the brush.
Yeah. Because otherwise, anything too complicated, I'm not doing it. I'm a very lazy skincare routine person.
Which is so funny because that's like me as a stylist. I'm like, I never have my clothes.
No, I cannot be bothered with all the steps people do. Forget it. I'm not doing that. So, yeah.
I agree with that. So, okay, couple things. One is, what's been your sort of like scariest thing? Like, what keeps you up at night? What wakes you up in the morning? What is sort of like your greatest fear in your career or in life?
Oh, I have lots of fears in life, but
taking your children out of it, obviously as a parent, that's obviously all of that is our fear.
I would say my biggest thing that scares me is not coming up with anything new and innovative is my number one challenge that I spin a spiral all the time.
Yeah.
And then also I think my other one is there's so many brands out there and so many brands that aren't that great that will, they'll do great and take off for whatever reason.
Sure.
And I always worry, like, I know everything that I make, I put so much into it that I fear sometimes, like, suppose it doesn't, I don't, it doesn't happen for me. You know what I
mean? It's a fear of failure.
Yeah, 100%. I have that a lot.
I know of that.
And I just try to, like, get it out of my head and keep, you know, I don't want to manifest that, but I have that a lot. And I think even more so because obviously all these brands came out during the pandemic and it's not ending and there's more and more and people are just making the same stuff. And so it's like, how do I make this different? What's different?
Well, I have some thoughts on that because obviously, like, I always have the same, I mean, the same fear, but I will say this, there is a little bit of good in that. And I'll tell you why. I talk about this a lot. And for me, I'm a very similar type of person and I always have some element of fear and I always have a huge fear of failure. I've had that my entire adult life, probably my kid life too. But, you know, I think, I actually think it's part of what drives me.
Yeah.
Because I actually think, I just sort of think that if you're not a little bit scared, you get complacent and you lose your fire. And that's when things start to sort of get a little stagnant, you know, whereas if you're like, hey, mine's the best. I'm going to keep making it the best. And I'm going to work my fucking ass off to make sure it's the best, better and different than all the other shit that's out there. Not shit, but you know what I mean? But like, but I think that that can be used to some extent as something that really pushes you to always do better. So I actually think that that's okay. I think in terms of the sort of oversaturated competition, because that really does exist, especially in beauty. And I can't say that it does, because I've been asked to do cosmetic lines and skincare lines. And I'm like, no, no, just what they need, just what they need from me.
Right.
And why? So, but I think that ultimately, if you really look 90% of the time, the best products win, you know, not
for
always.
Sure.
There is the 10% that are just marketed the best. Marketed the best.
Yeah. Cause marketing really can do it for a brand. Definitely. Yeah. You can see for sure. People are not going to keep repeating. Buying something that's not great for sure.
They're not.
It is hard. It's still hard to be in that and
in the noise.
And watch it. And by the way, Instagram doesn't help. It's scrolling through, you know what I mean? Because everyone's winning and all the things. So it's
all
hard, but but it does, it definitely does motivate me. It's good, but that's like probably the thing that freaks me out the most.
Yeah. And I understand that. And I think I will say this. I think that's a very common thread in entrepreneurs in general. I really think it is because we don't have a boss.
Yep.
We don't have someone making the final calls, right?
It's us.
It stops at us. So I think that is something where it's a blessing and a curse, right?
Yes.
And it does keep you going. But it also is terrifying. And I think a healthy fear of failure is okay. I think keeping your eyes forward and constantly trying to put out the best because you have a very loyal, loyal clientele.
I really do.
You really do. And I think, and it's because it works, right?
Because
if it didn't, no one's going to be that nice. Let's be real. And listen, like we have a lot of mutual friends and they're all fucking badasses. And I'm telling you, they're not going to lie.
Right.
So they're going to be like, Shawnee, this sucks and gave me a rash. Like they would.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, it's true.
But I think, and I think I already know the answer to this, but I would say, who is that person that gave you your sort of that life-changing, game-changing moment and confidence to just do it? I mean, I think it's Jessica, but
yeah,
it could be multiple people.
I would say it was Jessica because not only that, she was so supportive. So one of the places where I first met her.
And this is Jessica Alba for our listeners.
Yeah.
We say so, Jessica just because.
when I first met her, giving her a facial, it was just random that I saw her. And we weren't that, we barely talked during facials.
Oh, yeah,
and
sure.
Right before she left, she was pregnant with Honor. I was pregnant with Phoenix, but I had never really spoken to her in facials to tell her that I was pregnant.
Right.
And I wasn't really showing. So the day she came in, she was getting ready to help Honor. And I finally told her, listen, I just want you to know when you come back, I'm actually pregnant as well. I won't be here for a little bit.
Right.
And immediately, because she loves to talk about kids, immediately she was like, oh, my God, I blah, blah, blah. And so she started inviting me to hang out after I had had Phoenix. So I had like a mom friend.
So you were like mom friends. Yeah.
Yes. And then I ended up getting fired from the place that I worked at. And she ended up, she was renting. You remember she rented that house? She was redoing her house and she rented the, so she had a guest room there. And mind you, I really didn't know her that well. She asked me when I had no place to go, she was like, why don't you just set up at my house, my rental house? You can do facials there. So I gave facials at her house, like not knowing her that well. And that really pushed me. And then after that, she pushed me to open up at my house. So like, that was probably
No.
It was pretty crazy because also like not that you would ask for money, but like I'm just there working.
Sure.
People would just like strangers would just come in the side door. You know what I mean? It was like wild, but like that's definitely was.
That's insane, actually. When I think about it and like just had like a huge career. Not that she doesn't now. She has a freaking empire and a career and movie career. But like that's really unbelievable. Unbelievable because I think that, you know, and just so everybody knows, like Jessica Alba, she is one of the absolute most supportive friends, girlfriends, mom friends, mentors, but more importantly, like really champions her friend's success. And in this case with Shani, like they barely knew each other. And she was like, hey, really set up in my like, guest house or whatever
and
run your practice. That's pretty extraordinary.
I only ever hung out with her at that time at a baby class at her house. So it wasn't like we were like hanging then. So, and then to just set that up, she was like, you could just come whatever, like, here's the key. And like, and by the way, like, I'm sure, you know, at that time, my clients, if they would have known where they were, probably would have freaked. I mean, it was weird, but it's the nicest thing. But that's one of Jessica's best qualities that she has is that when you need someone, she's very supportive in that way. Like that's when she's, I think her best is that she always wants to help you if something's going down.
That's pretty extraordinary. And I think, I think in this kind of world we're living in, I think that having that person, male or female, is there's nothing actually more important because in a sense I think that probably kind of kept you going.
Oh, 100%.
Because you had gotten fired, which is a time when people are like, I'm out. Like I can't do this, you know?
Yeah, fired with a small child. That's, you know what I mean?
By the way, I don't even think you can legally do that now, by the way.
It was awful.
Just saying, for what it's worth, we should go back in time right now.
It was pretty bad.
That's
but it
really
ended
gnarly.
Up being good. It ended
right,
up
by
being
the way.
Great. Yeah.
By the way, and that's the thing. It's sort of like can and you. By the way, you probably were not happy there. I'm just predicting.
No,
that.
No, see? I was not happy. And also, if I wouldn't have gotten fired, I wouldn't be here.
That's my point.
It was a lot of times getting pushed out of something because I wasn't going to leave. Oh. It was the best thing that could have. I should actually thank that person that fired me. I don't want to.
Well, right. Exactly. But I do think I have, you know, it's funny. I have this theory about life in general that sometimes life makes decisions for you that you would have or couldn't have ever done for yourself. You know, and here you are.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so, you know, we had this, well, you held this beautiful dinner co-hosted by our very good girlfriend, Laura Brown.
Yes.
Also a cheerleader and champion.
Oh, beyond, beyond.
I mean, Laura is a unicorn of a human yes. being. She's yes. so special. I've known her most of my career at this point, since she started at Bazaar. And yeah. Laura's always just been different than the rest.
Yes. Oh, for very.
And the best is yet to come for her. But she co-hosted a dinner for you. It was very star-studded and beautiful, and also just felt like a really fun, like, girls' dinner, honestly.
Yeah.
And I got to see so many people that I loved and hadn't seen in a while because, again, it goes back to that introvert thing, and I'm trying to be an extrovert. But I was so happy to see everybody. And I think, you know, one thing I want to talk about that I remember so clearly, I think you cried like 30 times at the dinner. And I want to talk about that because, you know, and we talked about it at dinner, but I think that something to really recognize in our lives and in our careers, personal and professional, that when you turn around and people show up for you, it's probably the most meaningful thing yes. that you can ever imagine, because it's not easy to show up.
No.
Everyone's got kids, a million jobs, yep. they're traveling, they're tired, they're this or that. Some people it's way easier to show up, of course,
yep.
but for some people it's hard. And I think that, you know, I think we're probably similar in that, like, we don't ask a lot of people yeah. to show up. And so when they actually do, you like turn around, like, I can't believe you're here just for me. And I can't believe you got dressed. I can't believe you got your makeup. I can't yep. believe you did this. Da, 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 da. And that gratitude is overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I saw you speaking and you just kept crying. It was like waterworks the whole night. And it made me love you more, because I was sort of like, I get her, and I know exactly what she's yeah. feeling right now. And it's partly, you can't believe you're here. You can't yeah. believe everyone's there.
Yeah.
And you're so happy at how good, like, it's working. Like, your yeah. hard work works, and
yes.
people recognize it, right?
Yeah. Well, it's just like, LA is such a crazy place. So to just yeah. think, like, you got like this, like, you wanted to come, like, I just never thought that that would happen. So, and yeah. I don't ask for much ever, but mm-mm. just the fact like that, it's like too much. It's just like, and it was all like such great people. You know what I mean? It wasn't yep. like, and the more meaningful thing for me is that I don't really, because I am so antisocial, I don't really have like parties. So I was so about like wanting it to be people that knew each other or were yes. going to like each other.
Totally.
And the fact that everyone was in that room, it was like, it was just too much for me. And also to ask
awesome.
People to come and you're going to have to take 12 pictures. And like, so it's like, that's a lot. You know
it
what
is.
I mean? And I could never thank anyone enough for that. There's nothing else I could, you know what I mean? I woke up the next morning. I woke up and started crying right when I woke up. I called DJ and I was like, I can't even deal. This is like too much. So
and I knew that you did. I knew that you did, because I saw you. Like, I literally saw you and I was like, she is a hot mess of emotions right now. And there was a lot of single moms at that table.
Yes.
And, you know, I think everybody was really feeling it. And I think everybody was happy to be there. And again, I think, don't kid yourself. The women in your life are incredibly grateful. No, but they're incredibly grateful to you for what you're doing for them. That's the other thing, is you're giving them confidence to actually like maybe just put on some moisturizer in the morning, some lip balm, and go talk to people rather than spending like 20 hours trying to like cover their faces. So that's invaluable.
I'll need a lot more therapy to get to that point. But like, yes, I get that that's the feeling I should have. It's still very hard for me. It's very hard for me, but
it works.
Yes.
But it works, lady. It freaking works. And I love watching it. And, you know, for me as an entrepreneur, as someone who's kind of been here for a while and seen a lot, good and bad and just gnarly, it's so nice to like see you win and to like really the old fashioned now unexpected way to get where you want to be is just actually work your fucking ass off and do
truly it is.
That way and get recognized for your actual talent. And and I think that is extraordinary. And I can't, well, I do want to ask you one last question, and then I want to ask you, before we go, I need to ask you some skin questions, because
yes,
everyone would kill me if I didn't. But okay, so what's, like, do you think about, like, what's next? Like, what, you're done having kids, right?
Yes.
She says that's, that. She says yeah, that non-negotiably. Yes.
Yeah, no, that's it. I'll get more dogs, but no more babies.
Okay. And then for your brand, what, like, are we going to do more salons? Do you want to keep just one? Do you want to just roll out more products? Like, what's the plan, if any?
No, people have always asked me if I wanted to have more studios, and I just, I don't want a Shawnee Darden shit show. I don't care about any of that. I have a very private space, and I like that. I like walking through it, and it feels like I'm the only person there. I don't want that. It's just more about products for me right now. And you know, it takes me forever. So like, it takes me forever to make anything. So, you know, that's kind of my focus. I think that I'll work as an esthetician for a really long time, as long as I can, because it's kind of what, number one, that's my therapy, is when I give a facial 100%. Sure. It's probably the calmest you'll ever see me in your life. It's where I'm supposed to be. But also, like, I get to hang out with all of these great people that tell me what they want me to make. And they try my, so like, it helps me. So I don't think that, I think that that's it. It's just really, you know, now being in Sephora, that's like a really big thing. It's
incredible.
And so you have to like keep up. So it's about, you know, just kind of putting, when I went into Sephora, they had said to me, you're not going to be able to get facials anymore 6 days a week. And so I cut back on the facials. Yeah, because there's just no time to build.
Sure.
So, it's just about, you know, I'm still doing facials. I try to just do facials 2 days a week. It ends up being more. And then the rest is just all about the product line.
See, that's incredible. And I think people don't realize that. And especially in the beauty industry, when you're a hairstylist, a makeup artist, or an esthetician, you know, you don't, I mean, I guess you can own your business in a sense, but when you launch product, that's really your baby again, right?
100%. And it's a hard one because there are so many vitamin C's. So why am I making one? What's different about my vitamin C?
Yeah.
And to make that happen is, you know, it takes a lot. Yeah. So.
Well, I love that. And I also love that you won't just pop out product you know.
I mean, Sephora doesn't love it, but it takes me a... takes me a long time. So this year is the first time that I've actually caught up, because I finally made some that it will now come out kind of like the way that Sephora likes it on time. But
just keep like rolling out.
Yeah, it's not completely just rolling out, but you have like certain time, like.
Yeah, drops.
Yeah. So I'm there now, but now it's like, oh, well, what are we going to do next year? You know what I mean? What's going to happen? So.
It's,
I'm just going to keep doing it.
Crazy. But it keeps you going. It like pushes you. So that's good.
It does.
You know?
It does.
And it's such a blessing too, because I don't, you know, for those of you that don't know, when you create a beauty product, the dream is to have a big presence at Sephora.
Yes.
The holy grail of beauty.
Yes.
You a very really dangerous want... place for me to walk into.
Yes. It's a challenge. The great thing about Sephora is they've been so supportive of me, and that's been so great, you know, so it's been like they help me a lot with ideas and are always so supportive, so I'm
that's
very
incredible.
Grateful for that. Yeah, I lucked out.
Well, I think one of the biggest, there's two skin, I mean, listen, there's 100 that I have. I've been blessed in terms of like having my mother's skin, so I've never really had like a huge acne issue, but the one time I did was my early 30s. And so I have a ton of women that I know that are just dying. They're just like, I don't understand. I didn't even have acne in my teens.
Yes.
And now I'm like 32, 35, and they can't like
that's
function. It's obviously hormonal, right?
Yes. That's
but
what
like,
happened
what
to
is,
me too.
What's the secret? Like it is in fact hormonal, and it happens to all of us or most of us. But like what's your like best advice you can give all of these women? Because I mean, it's a really hard one to tackle.
It's a hard, So here's the thing. I think the hardest part is that you, the best thing is to find someone that can help you. Mm-hmm. But usually it's just about changing your products.
Right.
It's usually you've been using something forever. Your skin's changed, your hormones have changed, and you need to like, you need to switch it up to something else, but also you need, probably need some help doing it. That's the tricky part. Cause
right.
we all read magazines and see it on Instagram and we're like, oh my God, she's using it. And then you buy
you need professional.
And it's not right for your skin type. So, but that's usually so many people I see that come in, like they're so congested or they're breaking out. And I'm like, let's stop all of that. Just try all of this.
Yeah.
And by the next time I see them, they're not breaking out anymore. So it's kind of pretty simple.
Yep. Well, simple for you because you're so retarded. And then do you say the same thing to like the 18 to 24 kids that are just dying? And it's like, they're like, oh my God, I need a laser. Oh my God, I need to use like that one on TV that then dried out their whole skin. So yeah. Like, what is it the same? It's just hormonal shifts for everybody, right?
100%. And that always killed me. When I worked at the dermatologist, I worked on such young kids up to their teens. And those... Yep. That's where my heart just breaks because it's like, number one, if you don't get that under control, you are going to scar your skin. But also it's just like a hard time, like going to school was so much. It's just like hard.
Awful.
So I love treating people younger. I treat a lot of people that are younger.
And you find that your products are really effective in like skin this age, like just, or do you need like actual treatments in order to heal it? Do you feel?
No, I don't think you need treatments to heal it.
Products.
For sure. It's products. And I don't just use my line. So I have a lot of other products. So it's not just my line alone.
Right. Like you're not just trying to sell people stuff.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things you can do. But at some point, if you are breaking out really badly, you may need a dermatologist. And I'm very honest with people and will say you need to go to the dermatologist and get on a prescription strength topical. Yeah. But I don't, all the lasers and stuff, I'm not a huge fan of all of those things. I'm I'm more about products, but you know.
Listen, babe, whatever works, whatever works. And okay. And you, if you had to die by, these are the things I could never go to sleep without on my face or anyone's face, what would it be? I think I know the answer, but what would it be?
Retinol.
Okay.
I can't live without retinol.
Because?
It's just the best anti-aging ingredient. Like I've been using retinol since I was in my 20s. I mean,
really?
I just think it's like the best thing that you could put. There isn't an ingredient. That's why everyone has a retinol now. Every brand has a retinol because you can't get better than that. So unless you're using prescription strength and that's even better. So
Right.
Yeah, no, I couldn't live without retinol. Use it every day.
Well, I want your skin.
You have... amazing skin.
It could be 10x better, just saying. But I love you madly. This is so much fun.
It's been so great. Such an honor to be on this. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so happy to have you. I love your story. I think it's going to really motivate so many people to like, you know, career shift. It's never too late.
Yep.
You too can be in music videos, in corsets, and switch to the career of your dreams. Not that that's bad, just may not be for you.
Yeah, it was not.
And also sometimes that it takes that one person to just push you to do what you love.
Yes.
So, all right, honey, I love you. Have a wonderful holiday weekend.
You too. Thank you so much. I'll hope to see you soon.
Okay. I'll see you after break.
Bye.
Bye, my love. It's that time in the show when I answer two listener questions. So let's see what we have today. Okay. First question. What career opportunities or collaborations have you turned down and why? The answer to that, I can't say names like brands that I've said no to, but I can say I've definitely said no to a few, certainly several speaking engagements because it wasn't something that felt right to me or financially didn't make enough sense for me to kind of make a trip to do it. It wasn't for a reason I believed in, so I didn't feel I could speak authentically to it. And definitely one that I turned down that I remember was a really big deal because it was a crazy amount of money and something I could have done organically, but I had made a deal that was almost closed, and something came out about the brand that I didn't like, and it was still being argued, but like it wasn't 100% proven, but I had a feeling it was true about the brand. And I ended up backing out and not doing it, which ultimately ended up being the right decision, because had I gone and been the face or endorser of this product at the time, it would have been a very detrimental thing for my brand and for my image. So I was very glad that I followed my gut. I did walk away from a lot of money and a great partnership opportunity, but it really was like doing the right thing and saying, okay, doing the right thing is more important than making all this money. And so, you know, listen, those are hard decisions to make when you're an entrepreneur. But I had to make it. It was just the right decision. Okay, second question. I want to invest in a designer bag. What would you buy if you could only get one? Well, I say to that two things. One is it really depends on your budget. I think if your budget is fairly large, or large, I should say large, because I don't even think it can be small at this point. But I would always say to get a Chanel bag or an Hermes bag. You will never regret it. You will have it the rest of your life. Every Chanel bag I have ever purchased sits beautifully in my closet and, you know, looks virtually unused, even though they've been used a ton, and you never get sick of them. So I always say, pick what you love the most, but lean on the more classic version. So if you're getting one, do it in a color that you really can use and really can wear. So whether that's camel, you know, like a beautiful brown, caramel, chocolate brown, black, something like that. Or if you wear denim the most, then maybe like a navy or something like that. But I think the idea is to get something not so trendy of the moment, because in 6 months, you will not want to even look at it. But on the flip side of that, I also want to say that there are so many incredible resale sites now that if you want, spend the money, get the it bag you're dying for that's trendy if you're that person. And then in 6 months, trade it in, take that money and get the new trendy bag. So I think it really depends. Are you classic? Are you trendy? And, you know, always buy what you love and you're actually going to wear. Don't buy something, especially if it's that one decision. Don't buy the bag you're just going to stare at and it's going to sit in the duster bag, because there's no point to that. No point to that at all. Don't forget to submit your questions for next week's episode. All you have to do is DM us your questions to @climbinginheelspod on Instagram, and I might just answer your question. Thank you so much to Shani for coming on the podcast and opening up about her life, her career, and for sharing some very treasured skincare tips, because they weren't really what I thought they were going to be. I thought it was going to be like, strip this, stop using that, like stop stripping all the oil from your face, stop adding too much product. But really, most of it was sort of like change your products, because your products are probably ruining your skin. Obviously, most of it, especially for women, is hormonal changes and you don't have control over it. But and sometimes you do need professional help. But I can tell you, I'm definitely doing whatever she says. And she's very impressive. And I think it's interesting for me to interview such different women with different career paths, because I think it just shows that you can get to the top in so many ways, and you create your own path and your own journey, and there is no rule book for life, and certainly not for a career. There's no exact path to the top. So I hope that you just keep learning from each episode. So thank you to Shani. If you want more Climbing in Heels content, follow me on @RachelZoe and @ClimbingInHeelsPod on Instagram for more updates on upcoming guests, episodes, and all things Curator. I will see you next week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.